I received the first call relative to the escape mid-morning on Saturday, June 6th. And once I received that call, our office was involved. I informed certain members of my office of the nature of the investigation from what I learned at that point in time, that the two inmates had escaped from the facility, and the belief as to how they had escaped. And so, in that situation, we have certain obligations that we have to do to assist law enforcement officers. So I started that process with my staff to do that.
I can understand the DA being involved once they've determined somebody needs to be charged. What exactly are you doing before they actually find somebody and charge somebody?
We certainly assist the law enforcement officers in their certain aspects of their investigation. Some of those may be questioning a witness or a potential suspect. Not my office directly being involved in the questioning, but observing the interviews that are taking place, maybe making suggestions as to certain questions that should be asked or shouldn't be asked, because the bottom line is once the individual is arrested, it's obviously up to my office to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt down the road in front of a jury. And so, if we don't have that sufficient information or evidence to support the charges, we're fighting an uphill battle before it even starts. So we try to assist in that manner if we can. There's also involvement from the office as far as processes that need to occur, obtaining search warrants, obtaining subpoenas for information, and those are all a process that evolves out of my office regarding grand jury subpoenas, for instance, to get the cell phone records of Joyce Mitchell. Subpoenas had to be issued to the carrier and get that information from them, and then it's provided to the whatever law enforcement agency, and of course, in this case, the New York State Police.
Now, you've often mentioned the complexity of this case. We've all heard about Joyce Mitchell and her husband, but there's so many employees and so many people outside of the prison. How many people have you had to take a look at, review, investigate? And obviously, that's still ongoing.
I would just say that there are multiple inmates that are still being questioned. There are multiple civilian employees and correction officers that are being investigated, interviewed to make a determination as to who assisted Matt and Sweat in their escape from the prison if there were more people other than Joyce Mitchell.
How difficult is the investigation with the volume of rumors and hearsay that's circulating? Plus, you have the surge of the media spotlight coming into the area.
The one issue with the as you say, the surge of the media spotlight coming in the area, for the most part, I think that has assisted us getting the photographs of David Sweat and Richard Matt out there, getting the information about the case and the investigation to the extent that we've released to the public out nationally. So in case they have escaped from the area, in case they are in another state or elsewhere, that will have, eyes and ears out there looking for both of these men, which could be helpful. But it's become, it continues to become more difficult with the leads. Every lead has to be followed up. Every lead has to be checked thoroughly and closed out to make sure that it's not a potential, whether it's a sighting, whether it's a home that the homeowner may have felt that somebody entered it unlawfully. Those things all have to be checked out to see if it's a viable lead. We've given her every opportunity to talk to us, to tell us what her involvement is. And but in the sense also, you know, she identifies the specific time and approximate or the date and then the approximate time of when the escape is going to occur. So that's information that Matt, she advises us, Matt told her. And it's spot on. You know, they broke out of the facility on the early morning hours of June 6th after midnight. And that's when she was supposed to meet them and be their getaway driver. So in that sense, we have to believe what she's telling us. And then she tells us, you know, about the homicide plot, if you want to call it that. And one has to look at that and say, if these two men are planning this elaborate escape, two men that are obviously, they're not cell or bunk mates because their cells are 22 and 23, but they're next door and being on the honor floor, they have constant contact with each other, that, you know, they developed this plan. And why would they drive an hour and a half back to Dickerson Center to, you know, commit a crime and kill her husband and then leave from there where potentially they could have been located by police during that period of time? You know, one would think they're going to leave the area and either go to Canada or go to some other area, but to get out of this area as quickly as possible and not have any further ties to either Clinton County or somebody involved in the case. So in that sense, it doesn't make sense. But then again, escaping from Clinton Correctional Facility doesn't make sense either. So anything's possible.
DA Wiley, it's been almost 2 weeks since they escaped. We've only seen the arrest of Mrs. Mitchell. Do you anticipate that other people will be arrested and charged, given that it's been 2 weeks?
I don't know that 2 weeks is a time frame of what we are looking at to charge other people. There are, you know, I think we talked about earlier, there's many people that are still being questioned, trying to get if anyone else was involved.
Andrew Wiley, going to the fugitives, Richard Matt and David Sweat, if and when they're caught, and I know most law enforcement agencies will emphasize the when, the prosecution that will occur when they're caught, will it be definitely here, or does it depend on the jurisdiction where they're caught?
The jurisdiction is where the crime is committed. So the jurisdiction would be here in Clinton County. It would be the same issue if you go back and think about, let's say, the Glenn Race case, right? Glenn Race commits the homicide here in Moores, New York, and is secured by the U.S. Border Patrol in Texas on the Rio Grande River. So we bring him back. We'll extradite. If they're not local, if they're not in New York State, and they're located anywhere in the country or outside of the country, we'll make efforts to extradite them back here to Clinton County and commence a full prosecution of them. And people, I can understand people saying, and I anticipate the statements or the questions being put forth, why are you going to prosecute two individuals who have already been convicted of murder and are serving life sentences? And my simple response to them is because they broke the law, and we are going to charge them for doing that. The process of, you know, going through that court system thereafter will be somewhat difficult because of their background, because of this escape, and dealing with how we would deal with the dynamics of that. If they're located in a facility somewhere in New York State, we're going to obviously want to limit the amount of times that we're bringing them back and forth to court to prevent, obviously, future escape attempts. But that's a process that we're going to have to undergo and go forward with.
Are you already making plans, since Matt has already escaped from another facility?
Well, there are certain things in place through the court system on how appearances can be done, video conferencing, He obviously has a right to be in court for hearings and trials, but subject to conferences, future conferences that we'll have. And this is obviously all under the presumption that both of them are taken, or one or both are taken into custody, and we're able to prosecute them. That there are procedures present that we can utilize to avoid the constant transportation of them from one facility to another.
A question more on a personal type of level here. You, in many ways, have become a face of information for this case. Do you feel any additional pressure as you get contacted by media from all over the world on this?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, because each agency has their own responsibility. And I think as the chief law enforcement officer of the county, as the person who, represents this county, I feel I have an obligation for my constituents, the citizens of the county and their surrounding areas to be informed of the status of the case, to be informed of the status of the investigation as ethically as I can, and without violating any ethical obligations that as prosecutors we're under. So, and yes, the national media, the local media, are inquiring for bits and pieces of time during the day, and it's so I'm trying to meet each of those obligations, give everyone the appropriate time that they are asking for. It's hard with a family of four kids and a wife, the school year ending. I missed baseball games, I've missed soccer games, I've missed my little daughter's dance recital two nights in a row. So in the end is to them and to me it's extremely important, but for the nature of the case and the people that we represent, it's insignificant, and my family understands that. So it's I appreciate the support they've had, but it's we need to do our every one of us needs to do our jobs, and I feel that's part of my job that I have to do.